You know, our eyes are so important, aren't they? I remember when our son Nathan was probably in grade 3, he brought a note home from school. It happened to be his birthday that day, but on the note it said, "Please get Nathan's eyes checked." Well, because it was his birthday, the health nurse had come to his class, and she needed a volunteer, and because it was his birthday, he was volunteered, and he couldn't read the letters. We had no idea that this was a problem. And so to be sure, we went and got his eyes checked and got him glasses, right? What we see is so important. So much of life is embraced through our vision. You walk into a grocery store and the advertisers know just how to put the color and all of that in, so grab your attention, right? Visual attention. I think they take when you take children into a grocery store, what happens? Well, they just get so excited by all the colors and everything that's going on, and it just impacts them so much. So we learn to leave our kids behind when we go grocery shopping because it's just too much, right? It's just too much. But vision is something that that impacts us in our relationships. You think of it, you know, we watch people as they speak. As I'm speaking, I'm watching you and you're watching me, and eyes are so important in communication. Without the eyes, how would we understand what's being said? Because eyes say something, and it's so, so important. But sometimes we get diverted or distracted. So let's go through something that I think will help us understand this. So, are the squares inside the blue and yellow squares all the same color? What do you think? Are they all the same? No, you got to see it, right? Are they all the same color of what you see, right? Well, let's take a look at this one. Are the horizontal lines straight or crooked? It's a bit weird. Well, let's take a look at this one. Are the circles static or moving? Just stare at it a bit. What do you see? They start to move? Okay. Now this one you really like. How many legs does this elephant have? All right. So here, are the two horizontal lines the same length? You gotta look at it carefully. And this one. Do you see the gray dots at the intersection of the white lines? Right? And this one you really like. Does Lincoln's face look normal? Look carefully. Does it look normal? If you're having trouble with it, just look at the eyes. Ooh. Ooh. Right? So how do you like this panoramic shot? It's kind of cool, isn't it? Can you see something else in the picture? What do you see? Do you see a baby? Right? You know, a number of years ago, I was in a small Bible study group, and we had a fellow from Africa, and I was telling my story, and we were talking, and he looked at me, and he said, "Gary, you're white on the outside, and you're brown on the inside." So how can you tell, right? I'm white on the outside, but because I grew up in India, and a lot of my life was shaped and formed in India, I'm brown on the inside. He could see that. Others probably saw confusion, but he could see that. So what's on the surface is not always what is underneath. What you see, we can be tricked at times, right? And sometimes the distractions are really make an impact. So you're driving through suburbia one evening looking for a street where you're supposed to have dinner at a friend's house. You slow down to a crawl, turn down the radio, stop talking, and stare at every sign. Why is that? Neither the radio nor the talking affects your vision, or do they? Dr. Stephen Niantis, talk from John Hopkins University, he says, directing attention to listening effectively turns down the volume on the input on the visual side of the brain, parts of the brain. The evidence we have right now strongly suggests that attention is strictly limited, a zero-sum game. When attention is deployed to one modality, say, talking on a cell phone, it necessarily extracts a cost on another modality, say, the visual task of driving. So vision can be affected by other distractions. And we all know that because, we have a law that says you can't talk on your cell phone while you're driving. And they have a point, right? So it's also a fact that when it's congruent, when you see something and hear something that comes together, it has a more powerful impact. So what I'd like you to do for a few moments, and we've gone over this, but I'd like you to look at this picture. Just kind of gaze at the picture. This picture is taken from Bear's Hump at Waterton National Park. And I want to read Psalm 121 as you look at this picture. So just gaze at the picture. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. So as you looked at the picture and you heard the words, maybe something different came to your mind. Something popped out that said, oh, I never realized that before. That's the power of how the God uses the different modalities that we have, visual and hearing. And when it comes together, it can be very, very powerful. So, what did Abraham see when he heard God's call? What did he see? The call was like this. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. What did Abraham see? Saw a blessing. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And so Abraham went, as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham, imagine this. This is good for all seniors, right? Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had and accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for a land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So what did Abraham see? He saw a blessing. Well, let me just go back a little bit here in this. So how do you think he heard this? Maybe Abraham was just confronted out of nowhere, and somehow he heard this voice or saw this voice or saw God speaking to him in some way, because it's very direct, it's very specific, and this helped move him. Or maybe he heard this voice come, and he had already heard this voice other times. And he could see this vision, and he had learned to trust in God. Or maybe Abraham was at a place where he was trying to really, he knew there was God out there, and he was seeking God, and he was searching after God, and all of a sudden God appeared to him and said, I am the God you're seeking. Here's what I want to call you to. In any case, Abraham was called by God. And Abraham could see a blessing. And what is a blessing in the Old Testament? A blessing is very, very special. So a blessing, the word is used over 600 times in the Old Testament. And there are three major themes. The greater person or the greater always blesses the lesser. And you see this in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Melchizedek blessed, who's greater, blessed Abraham. That's a blessing. But Abraham, God blessed Abraham. That's a greater is God blesses the lesser. And the blessing that goes from one generation to another, it was always the father who is greater blesses the son who is taking on the blessing of the family. And so a blessing is always from a greater to a lesser person. Another thing is, it's a sign of special favor intended to result in prosperity and success. You know, it's almost like a blessing is like shalom. Shalom, when they greet each other with peace. And it's this shalom, this blessing, that you will be success, that blessing that you will have prosperity. And so that was another element for blessing. And a third one is that the blessing went to the next generation. And we have here, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful. And in Genesis 28, it goes on to say what that blessing is about. Because this, at this point, it's Isaac giving the blessing to Jacob. So, whatever happened on this journey, he started on this journey. We see that God would be with him. We see that God would protect him. We see that the way that God blessed him would be the way that Abraham would bless others. And so it develops a theology of blessing. Earlier, I read Psalm 121. We've read it. We've sung about it a number of times this morning. And I think the theology of Psalm 121 is rooted here. As you read through the chapters in Abraham that talk about his call, his journey, and so on, the blessing of Psalm 121, I think the theology comes from here. And so it's something to really, really understand that David just didn't invent this theology from nothing. It is already within the system. It is already within his DNA that they learned how to bless the Lord and trust in him. But let's happen. What was Abraham ever distracted from this blessing? That's another question that I think is so powerful. And as I was reading through, I think one thing is that he took Lot with him. And you wonder, was that a distraction? Well, originally the command was to take you and your family. It didn't include Lot specifically, but it could have. But we think, what happened to Lot and Abraham? Well, Abram spent a lot of energy trying to help Lot. And there was a big conflict in Genesis 13, and Lot had to go one way, and he chose the way of the garden, of the beauty of the valley, and so on, and Abram chose the other way. In Genesis 18 and 19, Abram had to intervene with Lot and his family as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came. So, Abraham, there's a distraction. And he got distracted, and maybe when he was leaving his Ur of the Chaldees, he saw, maybe Lot needs some place to go. I don't know. We don't know that. But also, there's a second part to this. On two occasions, he said that Sarah was his sister. What a distraction, hey? And what happened was that he was going to Egypt, and there was another place. He was on the edge of another country, and to the rulers of these countries, he said, Sarah, my wife, she's my sister. And so Because he was afraid. He was afraid, if I tell them that she's my wife, they're going to kill me. And so there was a tremendous amount of fear, I think, in Abram's soul. But that wasn't the end of the story, because when Sarah went to these places, they knew they had made a mistake, and they sent her back. And in both times, there was disease that went through, or things that happened that they realized, yeah, we have to go back. And then there's another distraction. Sarah gave her Egyptian slave woman, Hagar, to Abram to conceive her, for Sarah. What a distraction. That's amazing, isn't it? Because it was a distraction away from God's plan, God's call. And actually, it's interesting because God came to Hagar and said, listen, I know you have this baby. This is who this baby is going to be, Ishmael. And this is what's going to be his lot in life. And so Abraham struggled as we look at this journey. What did he see? And it's like when you see something and you get all these other distractions coming in, it distracts you from the real thing. And so Abraham was distracted. And he got stuck on two occasions giving his wife away because he was scared. And perhaps Sarah was scared that, well, I'm so old, I'll never be able to have a baby. And so she gave her Egyptian slave to Abram. Huh. Wow, that's quite a story, isn't it? But God continued to bless Abraham with two covenants. There's the Abrahamic covenant. And this covenant had three parts. The land would be given to Abram and his descendants, a promise of a son and a large family, and finally, it was a promise that the world would be blessed, that he would bless all the people of the world. And so we have this Abrahamic covenant, and then the second covenant was a covenant of circumcision. And so these two, and we could go into a lot of time to explain these. I just won't go on that. I'm just going to mention them this morning. And then there was a name change when they were circumcised. They changed the name from Abram to Abraham, which meant the father of all nations, and from Sarah to Sarah, which meant that she will conceive a son. And so we have in this life of Abram some interesting, and if you were called at the beginning, do you think all this would have happened just because he took a step and walked into Canaan? We never believed that all this could happen. And then there's one test. And we know this test. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, Abraham was told by God to take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. And then a little later, Isaac says, the fire and wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went together. This is amazing, isn't it? And just as he was about to offer Isaac, God provided a ram for the sacrifice. So what did Abraham see? And in seeing correctly, he knew that God was true to his word, and God blessed him. He saw that God's timing in fulfilling the blessing was also an embrace of faith. So Abraham, just by taking one step, didn't continue to need faith to continue his journey. Every part of his journey had some element of faith that was so powerful, so important. And out of fear, he was distracted from God's blessing for a time. And even when Abraham was distracted, God did not abandon him. This is amazing, isn't it? You think of it. Well, you know, Abraham sinned. He went off the rails a bit, but God didn't leave him. He brought him back and said, I'm this part of the covenant. I'm going to go through this with you, Abraham. And so he kept pursuing Abraham. And while Abraham waited a long time for Isaac to be born, God asked that Abraham offer his son back to him as a sacrifice. The one thing that would be, something that would definitely say, you know what, this is going to be for the next generations. God said, here, sacrifice your son. Whew, that is a tremendous, tremendous act of obedience. Wow. And he listened to the language. He says, take your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. It's been read and talked about a little bit. So Jesus has taken three disciples onto a high mountain. And while up there, he was transfigured. His countenance changed. And he shone like the sun. And Moses and Elijah were there talking with him. And it must have been quite an interesting occasion, because Peter wanted to enshrine the experience and build three tents or huts or something, saying, let's keep this so we can come back to this mountain time and time again and say, this is where we saw God in Christ in a most amazing way. But while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from a cloud said, listen to this, this is my son whom I love. The same thing that God had asked of Abraham. This is my son, this is your son who you love. This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And while they were still speaking, they were not to tell anyone until after the death of Christ. So what did the disciples see? They caught a glimpse of heaven. Wow, this is a little bit of heaven, to see these people, to see Christ in this way. It's a bit of heaven. And they heard a voice that confirmed what they were seeing. It was a powerful experience to hear a voice and see the same thing at the same time. And this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. God would allow his son to be crucified, this time with no substitutes. Jesus was not distracted from his mission. And he followed through with that. And this is really the basis of the new covenant, is it not? In the old covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the nation is important. And now all the believers become the people of God, right? In the old covenant, the land was important. In the new covenant, the kingdom of God is central. This is a kingdom that crosses borders, that crosses nationalities, that crosses ethnic groups. This is the kingdom of God. In the old covenant, the sacrifice had to keep going on. In the new covenant, we see that Jesus is the sacrifice. When you lift up your eyes, what do you see? That God is faithful in keeping his promise. We see that God keeps his promise in his timing. And this is so critical. We catch a vision and we're waiting for it to happen, and so often we like to make it happen rather than to walk with God to allow it to happen. God's intention is to give us a blessing. As we look at the theme now of Lent, and then later the Good Friday and Easter, this is a blessing for us to embrace. This is God's way of making this covenant. I will bless you. And this is how God has blessed us in Christ. God has blessed us in such a profound way. And in Christ, we receive this blessing. But you know, we are human. And we get distracted. And while there are many consequences for this distraction, God does not leave us. God does not walk away from us and say, you have to go it on your own. And this is the power of the cross. It invites us to come back. It invites us to be present. It invites us to be in the presence of God, even though we've been distracted, even though we may have gone our own way for a bit. God wants us to come back and be with Him. And that's what the cross is about. During this season of Lent, we might embrace the blessing of God as we trust Him, but that we might also be sensitive to discern those things which distract us from God. Because sometimes there are little things that come up, or sometimes there are things that come up, that come on, and often these are driven by fear. You think of Abram. He feared for his life, and he gave his wife as a sister. Sarah feared that she would not be able to have this baby of promise, and so she gave her slave as a way of having an heir. And so let's be attentive to the fears that we struggle with, because maybe those fears can also, as they move us away, but they can be signals to us and say, let's stay back, come. We don't want to get distracted by fear. So trust the Lord will bless you as we continue this journey of Lent, as we continue moving towards the Good Friday, where we celebrate the death of Jesus, and Easter Sunday we celebrate His resurrection. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the invitation to lift up our eyes. And as we lift up our eyes, who do we see? We see You. We see that You care for us. We see that You love us. You see that You guard our ways. We see that You want us to follow in Your blessing. Teach us Your ways, O God, that we might walk in them. In Jesus' name, amen.